Good afternoon. May it please the court. I'm Jim Taylor from the law firm of Saul Ewing, representing Appalee CC Finance, LLC. With me at council table is Mr. David Moffitt from our firm's Chesterbrook office.
Welcome to the court.
Mr. Moffitt has been appointed or adopted as pro hoc vice in this case, and with the court's permission, we'll be arguing on behalf of the appellees.
Very well.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
May it please the court. I'm Michelle Budisak, Young Conaway, Stargate, and Taylor for the Appellant Wireless Properties, LLC. With me today is Thomas Elkine from Foley and Lardner in Boston, Massachusetts. Mr. Elkine will be arguing on behalf of Wireless.
Welcome to the court.
Thank you.
And before you start, let me tell you a little bit about the lighting system. When I turn it on, you'll have 20 minutes and you'll see that counting down. And when it gets to the yellow light, you're in your rebuttal time and you can continue talking, but you'll be using up the time you wanted to reserve.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
And that's when the yellow light will come on.
Thank you. If it may please the court, my name is Thomas Elkind. I am representing Wireless in this case, although I'm a Massachusetts attorney, the reason I'm here is that I was representing Wireless in an unrelated action in Massachusetts when this case came on appeal, and they asked me to get involved in it. So it's a real pleasure and an honor to be here before you today. We're here in connection with the dismissal of the amended complaint in this case on a motion to dismiss. And my understanding is that this is a matter that the court will review de novo. So with that in mind, I would just like to go over a little bit about the facts of the case that are alleged in the amended complaint, which basically alleges that Crown failed and refused to fund loan requests that Crown was required to fund under the loan agreement. Now, the amended complaint alleges that the loan agreement called for lending by Crown to Wireless up to the amount of $10 million. There was an initial loan commitment of about $5.5 million that was actually dispersed to Wireless at the beginning of this relationship. Additional amounts were then loaned to Wireless by Crown, both to directly to Wireless, coming up to about $6.1 million total.
One quick question. So $10 million was the ceiling?
The maximum, right.
And the 5.5 initial amount was the floor?
Correct. That was the initial amount. And, that, of course, the agreement said that the loan commitment amount could go up or down depending on income revenue from these particular 15 towers that were the security for this loan.
And that was a readily ascertainable formula?
Yes.
That is one that was applied without any dispute.
Yes, that's in the definition of loan commitment in the loan agreement.
Well, does that mean that the loan commitment is not $10
million? No, the maximum amount that Crown was obligated under any circumstances to lend was $10
million. And is that the loan commitment or not?
No, that's the maximum loan commitment. There's a definition of loan commitment separate from maximum loan commitment.
Well, we know from the facts that there were subsequent loans primarily to repay outstanding interest. And the legal debate here, I guess, is whether consent was needed, and if it was needed, was it given or was it not needed? Is that right?
Well, that's right. And I'll get right to that. There are the provisions of the loan agreement that are applicable here are really the definition of loan commitment, which says that it means Crown's agreed upon obligation to fund the loan to Wireless in an amount up to the product of this formula, which was initially $5.5 million. And it says the loan commitment may from time to time be increased or reduced pursuant to the terms of this agreement. So Wireless' position here is that this is a provision for automatic increase or decrease of the loan commitment based on the revenue generated buy existing licenses on the 15 towers that were the subject of this loan.
But that only gets you part of the way there, because even if that's correct, the real issue is when your client calls up and says, wire the money, and do they have to consent to wiring the money, or is it mandatory?
It's mandatory. Once the loan commitment amount is set, there is an obligation by Crown to fund that amount as long as wireless is not in default and certain other conditions are met. And that,
well, let me make sure I have that right. Justice Holland initially, posed the issue as having two parts. One, was consent necessary, and secondly, was it given? Your position is no consent was necessary?
In certain circumstances. And what that means is if there, we have 15 wireless towers here, then licenses are sold to various companies to put their equipment on the towers. The revenue from those licenses goes into this formula, and the formula then determines what amount is available for lending, and that amount becomes the defined term loan commitment under this definition.
And that's in basically that category embraces all of the scenarios that came up in this case. Is that right? Or are we talking about?
We're talking about several different situations. But one of them is this, what I call the mandatory obligation of Crown to increase or decrease the loan commitment based on the results of this formula, which basically is what revenue is being produced by the existing licenses on these towers.
So as I understand your argument and your brief, if the loan commitment increased as a result of this formula, we'll just pick a number, by $100,000, that your client was immediately entitled to $100,000 on demand.
Not that simple, but essentially yes, because as long as they were not in default, as long as other due diligence aspects
right,
of Article 6
that.
Were met.
And that's to be distinguished from the original ceiling of $10 million, to pick a number, without the formula, where you agree consent was necessary. So are you saying it was only an increase in the loan commitment as a result of the operation of the formula, and they gave you the right to get the money?
Yes.
All right. So then with regard to this request, did your client relate this request to a change in the formula?
Well, unfortunately, the case is not that simple, because neither Crown nor Wireless abided by any particular method of requesting advances and authorizing advances. And that's, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's where the spreadsheets come in as the, I think, the key piece of evidence in this case, which unfortunately we have not been allowed to develop.
Your two-part question. Your side makes no distinction between the level of commitment and the actual obligation to fund. Is that right? That is, if there's an increase above the $5.5 million by operation of the formula, then there's an obligation to fund that additional, that incremental amount. Is that right?
Yes, and that's in Section 2.1 and 2.3 of the loan agreement.
Okay. But is it not also the case that you're arguing, I suppose as an alternative, that even if consent was required, there is the complaint adequately pleads that it was given?
Yes. And specifically in paragraph 30 of the amended complaint, it says, Crown provided a spreadsheet showing the loan commitment was, in this case, $8 million, whatever.
Well, and that's your construction, and I realize this is a motion to dismiss, so help me understand where everyone got to their respective positions. But at least in the briefs, your position is when they sent you the spreadsheet, they were telling you what you could draw down on, so to speak, and it was a consent that was available if requested. Their position is we're simply telling you what's outstanding and what's available upon request with our consent.
Yes, I understand that. Crown is trying to create a double level of consent here. The course of dealing of these parties was, and if you look at the spreadsheet, which is attached as an exhibit, as part of the appendix of our reply brief, it shows the history of this loan. It doesn't. It's dated December 31, 2008, but it doesn't start there. It goes back to the beginning, and it shows all of the times that the what they call the amount available or the loan availability, what that was at various times. And then during that whole period, we're talking about a two-year period here, during that entire period, Crown funded requests within those amounts to be paid not only to Wireless but also to itself for payment-in-kind interest payments. So there is a course of dealing here by Crown where it issued these spreadsheets. Wireless didn't issue them. Crown
did. How do you get from the spreadsheet simply being a record of the loan history to becoming a consent to loan what's left?
Well, this is where I think we have a difference between the posture of this case as a motion to dismiss and perhaps a summary judgment or after trial. At this stage in the litigation, we have made, I think, a proper allegation that the spreadsheet was the evidence of Crown's consent. We should be entitled, I think, to develop that through discovery. And we're either right or we're wrong. And if we're wrong, I'm sure there'll be a motion for summary judgment saying we're wrong.
Well, the first issue is, isn't it, whether or not consent is required. And are you going to address the language in Section 2.2A that's cited by the other side? Anything to the contrary contained in this agreement, notwithstanding, any increase in the loan agreement shall be subject to the consent of Crown?
I've seen that, and it's also in 2.2B. But it's not anywhere else.
Well, doesn't that trump your argument that consent is not required because of other language in the document?
I don't think so. My interpretation of that is that that's a reference to those particular types of situations. 2.2A deals with a situation where additional towers are built. 2.2B talks about situations where additional licenses are brought online. And those provisions, which are buried in the middle of those two paragraphs relating to those two situations, I read that to say whatever else the agreement might say about your right to get advances, if you want more money based on adding towers or adding licenses, our consent is required. Now, I submit that's a reasonable interpretation of that language. It's at worst ambiguous. And if we have the loan commitment definition, which is contrary to that. So we have possibly an ambiguity in the agreement on that point.
But it does say any increase in the loan commitment.
It says that. It says any increase in the loan is subject to Crown's consent. And I think that's what the trial judge focused on in saying, well, you know, forget about this definition of the loan commitment. You need consent for anything. And my answer to that is the spreadsheets are the evidence of that consent. There was never any they increased the loan. We know that they increased the loan from 5.5 million up to 8 point some million. And there was never any document by Crown that said Crown hereby consents to the increase of the loan commitment.
Right. So it was the course of dealing.
Right.
And that's what you're pleading.
Right.
And your understanding of what that meant, informed, I guess, by the fact that on numerous occasions there was actually funding, although some of that went right back to Crown.
Right. And it really doesn't matter whether the amount went to Crown or went to Wireless. They had to increase, or they did increase, the loan commitment. They didn't say Wireless was in default for failing to pay interest and we're going to take it and charge you a default fee. They were happy to take it out of the loan commitment and increase the loan commitment to do it. But they never did it in the way that the documents indicate you would expect them to do it, which would be to send them a letter saying we're hereby consenting to an increase in the loan commitment to X dollars. So, all they did was send the spreadsheet.
So you would agree that one of the threshold legal issue for us is whether this consent provision in Section 2.2 was ambiguous.
Yes.
And secondly, in any event, whether there's the complaint sufficiently or pleads facts sufficiently to create to survive a motion to dismiss on the question of whether consent in fact was given.
Right. I would put it a little more broadly. Our complaint alleges that the loan commitment was increased and that Crown failed to fund with as required up to the increased loan commitment amount. And whether they were required to do that because they had to consent or because it was automatic, our position is they did acknowledge that the loan commitment had been increased through the spreadsheets.
Well, but you're conflating two separate issues.
I'm broad. You're right, Your Honor. I mean, I agree with the way you put it. That's true. That if consent was required, the spreadsheets are evidence of that consent.
If you pleaded that adequately,
and we did plead, I think we did plead it adequately in paragraph 30, among other places, by saying the spreadsheets showed the amount available under the loan.
But with respect to the increases attributable to outstanding interest, and Wireless asked for that to be done, didn't they? It wasn't done unilaterally.
This, again, goes into discovery issues, I think, and I'm not sure that there's agreement on that. And that's one of the things that have to be determined probably during discovery. But whoever requested it or suggested it, it was done.
You're saying there wasn't a record on who requested it?
No. Many of these things were oral. They were simply telephone calls. There was somebody, just said, we're going to do it. It was clear that Wireless's motivation in entering into this was to be able to build more towers, to get more money so it could go out and build more towers. And they wanted to do that, and they owed interest, so the interest payments were taken out of the loan commitment. I don't know who suggested it or how that was actually accomplished at this point.
And do you want to save your remaining time?
I do. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good afternoon. If it pleases the Court, my name is David Moffitt at Saul Ewing, LLP, on behalf of the appellee CC Finance, LLC. I'd like to address the first argument regarding the requirement of consent. First of all, the agreement very clearly, unambiguously provides that notwithstanding any provision in the agreement, Crown's consent is a condition precedent to an increase in the loan commitment.
You equate increase in the loan commitment to obligation to fund that increase?
I do, Your Honor. Okay. If we look at the definition of loan commitment in Section 1.2, which was referred to by counsel, I believe there was a misstatement by counsel. Loan commitment does not mean an amount up to $10 million. It doesn't say that. It says loan commitment means Crown's agreed upon obligation to fund the loan to wireless in amount up to the product of revenue less expenses, which amounts to the cash flow derived from the towers.
But it's undisputed, is it not, that the $10 million figure is the ceiling?
It's a maximum, Your Honor.
Right. And it's also undisputed, I think, that the initial commitment was around $5.5 million.
That's
correct?
Both pled in the complaint, Your Honor, and we acknowledge that and agree with it.
Okay, here's my question. We understand that your client's position is that any increase in the commitment, including the obligation to fund that increase, required the specific consent of Crown on each of these events. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And because the agreement provided that consent was required and will be given in Crown's sole discretion, theoretically the commitment increase could go all the way up to the ceiling of $10 million, and yet your client would have the contractual power not to consent. Correct?
Yes, Your Honor. If, in fact, the multiple of tower cash flow, using the formula set forth in the agreement.
Right. If the formula drives the number up to $10 million, Wireless says, I want to check for for the difference between 5.5 and 10 million, and your client says no. Your position is that they are entitled to do that under this agreement.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And the reason is that the original loan commitment amount, it's defined in Section 1.2 at 5.499 million.
But doesn't that make the 10 million figure surplusage? And what's the point in having any number in there if there has to be a consent for any number?
Well, here's the point. Remember the Midas commercials? I'm not going to pay any more money for this muffler. The Crown's goal here was I'm not going to make an unsecured loan. And built into this agreement is the tower cash flow formula. If a request for an advance exceeds the tower cash flow formula amount and is paid out, suddenly Crown is in the position of an unsecured creditor. Crown, as a restraint on itself, as a restraint on whether or not it would take interest payments in kind up to an unsecured loan amount, Crown required Wireless to demonstrate that they were within the cash tower cash flow formula before they can even ask.
All right, so in response to Justice Ridgely's question, you're saying that your client was entitled to that safeguard in order not to be in the position of making an unsecured loan, which is a very rational explanation. But isn't it equally rational to infer from the answer to my question that there's at least a material, there may be a material fact issue for dismissal purposes as opposed to summary judgment as to whether a rational borrower in the position of Wireless would agree to an arrangement like that, which is just a different way of phrasing Justice Ridgely's question of whether there's any point at all to having a $10 million ceiling if your client had the unilateral contractual power to freeze the commitment at $5.5 million.
They would make that transaction, they would enter into it, for one reason, the original loan commitment amount. A loan was made in the amount of $5.5 million. That would motivate a borrower, one that needed money, to pay off previously existing financing, et cetera.
I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just asking whether, given the stage of the proceeding, that inference or question, would not justify further exploration through discovery.
Well, what you are inquiring into is a question of law for the court, the proper construction of the agreement. It doesn't require evidence beyond the four corners of this agreement. It's an integrated agreement. It speaks clearly as to what the commitments were. And frankly, the motivations and whether or not the parties made a good or bad deal is not relevant to that calculation.
Well, so, you're contending consent was required, and we're told if that's true, the spreadsheets constituted the consent. What's your response to that argument?
First of all, it's not alleged that the spreadsheets constituted the consent. The paragraph 30 cited to by counsel states that Crown provided a spreadsheet to Wireless that it prepared showing that, as of a particular date, the loan commitment was $8.4 million. It doesn't even allege that the preparation and submission of the spreadsheet amounts to an act of consent.
Well, can that be inferred?
The spreadsheets are attached. Were attached to the motion to dismiss in the court below and were attached again.
Well, what does that mean? I'm a little confused by some of the terms. When it says the loan commitment was 8.4, was that the outstanding balance, or is that where it was moving towards the $10 million based on the formula?
Well, what it is a mischaracterization by Wireless as to what those spreadsheets say. what those spreadsheets say, and they are attached to their reply brief appendix.
No, I understand. Just tell me, was the 8.4 the outstanding balance?
The 8.4 was the loan capacity that could be lended or loaned to wireless by Crown, subject to their consent, which they could withhold in their sole and unfettered discretion up to that amount.
So then that would be greater than the outstanding balance that had already been advanced?
Yes, Your Honor.
Great. That's fine.
Was there a choice of law provision in this agreement?
Delaware law, Your Honor.
There is body of Delaware law that says, and I may not be saying it totally accurately, that whenever an agreement creates discretion, expressly creates discretion on the part of one contracting party, that discretion is limited by the principle that it must be exercised reasonably. Would that not create an issue that would require denying a motion to dismiss?
Well, we're not there, Your Honor, because it's never been alleged that discretion was withheld unreasonably.
All right.
I need to point out to the court that in the appendix to the reply brief, these schedules were attached, and they are the schedules which are referred to in the response to our motion to dismiss in the court below. Our position is you cannot reasonably infer from the creation of those spreadsheets that document is, in fact, an expression of intent to consent to a loan increase up to the maximum loan capacity based on the formula.
The spreadsheet has a series of columns, and I guess a loan history. That is a history of the changes in the available, I forget what the term is, the commitment or the available funds. Is that right?
There's a calculation of total cash flow based on the revenue of all the...
Right. But the bottom line shows changes in the amount that, at least in theory...
What it shows is if you apply the formula, you get a number of, say, $8 million. Then it shows how, over time, amounts have been funded so that the dispersed amount of the loan moves from $5.5 million up to $6 million,
right,
up to $7 million.
My question is, for each of those intervals, was there actually funding paid out, or were there some for which there was no money paid out? We know there were some monies paid out on certain occasions.
Amounts that were paid out based on requests from wireless, both for a payment in kind for interest due, and also for additional funds for operating expenses, et cetera.
Right.
What is alleged is that the interest payments were made quarterly by wireless, utilizing some of that accessibility or that...
my question, I can phrase it a little better. The history of changes in the available funding or the available loanable amount was accompanied in each case until the dispute arose by actual funding, is that right?
There was actual funding. The dispute arises, I believe, in the 2008 and 2009 time frame were refused.
By actual funding, as I understand Justice Jacobs' question, did they really trade checks? So when the interest was due, did wireless get a check for the amount of the interest, which would increase the amount outstanding on the loan, and did they write a check back?
My understanding, it's not pled, but my understanding of what happened was that wireless would sign a letter, submit it to Crown, requesting a loan amount to cover the interest. That letter, that request would be accepted. The loan commitment would be increased at that point up to the amount of the accepted advance request, not pursuant to these schedules which have been thrown up here as an expression of consent.
So no one was trading checks?
There was no trading of checks. There would be an accounting entry that would reflect the increase in the loan amount.
It was an adjustment of the account.
Yes, Your Honor.
I think you said that the dispute arose sometime in 2008.
Well, the claim was brought in late 2009. The refused request to advance occurred in the 2008, I believe it was late 2008 was the
okay.
first one.
Up until that time, that is the late 2008, was there any instance reflected on the spreadsheet where there wasn't funding when requested?
My understanding, Your Honor, is no such events are alleged. And I frankly have been dealing solely with the pleadings. I am not aware of any requests to fund that were declined up to the time, I think it was about the time that the financial crisis hit the country.
So I was going to say, would it not be inferable, therefore, you know, given that fact and the spreadsheet, that the borrower here, the parties, in effect, treated the spreadsheet as if it were a consent?
No, because there was the process of making an advance request and the process of saying yes in whole, yes in part, or no. And that is exactly the process that was followed. It's not alleged. And the process resulted in funding being made as the agreement intended, pursuant to the agreement and exercise of discretion by Crown.
And you're saying the consent took place with the letter exchange, and the spreadsheet simply evidenced what had happened as a result of the letter exchange?
Not in total, Your Honor. What the letter exchange did was, as you say, it is evidence of the expression of intent, that of consent, that along with the actual funding or credit for the payment of interest in kind. The spreadsheet sets forth nothing more than a calculation of what Crown, in its discretion, could loan up to,
but
subject
also,
to those advance requests.
At least until late 2008, it also recorded the historical fact, which happened to be that in every instance, that is, at every interval recorded by that spreadsheet, there was consent.
There was consent to the request for advances, but I need to point out that the request for advances were not coextensive with the loan capacity.
Does the spreadsheet reflect in any way the difference between $10 million and the amount that was outstanding at any given point in time? And does that, if it does that suggest a consent to allow continued draws up to that amount?
The spreadsheet does not, best of my recollection, reflect any consideration of the $10 million maximum. The highest number that's recorded on the spreadsheet showing tower cash flow is the total cash flow, which is the calculation of net income from all the towers. And so it doesn't address an amount above that.
But it does address an amount that would be permissible, which had not been lent as of yet. Is that correct?
Yes. And if I may refer the court to the last attachment in the appendix to the reply brief before this court, there is an email communication contained which was included apparently to prove the point that these spreadsheets amount to an expression of consent up to the loan capacity amount. If you read the email and the attached spreadsheet submitted by Wireless, it very clearly states that the loan commitment amount, and this is as of December 31, 2008, is $8.1 million, and that the loan capacity is another $400,000 above that, which destroys any inference that they are suggesting they're entitled to, that these spreadsheets amount to an expression of consent whereby the loan commitment is coextensive with the loan capacity.
Does the agreement between the two parties, let me back up, the spreadsheet itself, was that covered? Did it owe its existence to some obligation created under the agreement, or was it just a evidence of the course of dealing?
Yes. In fact,
yes,
if you look at Section 2.2 A or B, Your Honor, there is a procedure set forth for increases in the loan commitment amount. And the first step of the procedure is a written request by Wireless. None is alleged. The second step is that Wireless is supposed to compile information which calculates the total loan capacity based on net tower revenue.
In the spreadsheet is designed to fulfill that contractual duty?
No, it's Crown did the spreadsheet. Wireless never prepared them, even though it was their responsibility under Section 2.2.
You've used the phrase loan capacity. Does that appear in the agreement?
The phrase loan capacity, well, let's see. The phraseology used in the agreement, and again I would refer the court to Section 2.2 A or B, is that the request, any request for increase in a loan commitment, quote, shall be in writing and shall be accompanied by evidence in form and substance satisfactory to Crown, demonstrating the increased tower cash flow upon which the request is based. Crown shall have ample opportunity to confirm, substantiate, etc. It goes on then to say that any increases that might be requested or any increases in the loan commitment amount that would be requested based on that tower cash flow is that solely at the discretion of Crown. And Section 2.
Loan capacity appears in the spreadsheets that were those words?
In the exhibit that I referred to.
And if it, assuming it does, why isn't it at least one inference that that indicates consent to lend up to that amount?
No, because the agreement specifically provides that the calculation of net tower revenue has another purpose. The purpose is very expressed in the agreement. The purpose of that calculation is to identify what the permissible amount of a loan would be up to that amount. It does not go to the next level. The next level very clearly is Crown has to consent before it's obligated to make a loan in that amount.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor. I do want to address the issue of that was raised, saying that consent is required even after the loan commitment has been increased. There is no provision in the loan documentation that says that. The provision that was read to you in Section 2.2A says an increase in the loan commitment shall require consent. There is nowhere that says any increase in funding up to the amount of the loan commitment requires additional consent. And, in fact, that issue is a red herring here because, as Your Honor's questions indicate, there seems to be a lot of confusion over how this consent of increasing the loan commitment was actually communicated. We know that it was given on many occasions by virtue of the loan commitment increasing and additional amounts being paid to wireless and to ground. But we don't have any evidence of how this was done. This is why discovery is required here. And I hope the court will find that the allegations in the amended complaint saying that the amount was increased and that the Crown failed to fund it is sufficient under your Rule 8A in terms of the notice pleading requirements that exist to show that we have alleged at least enough to put Crown on notice that this is an issue. And therefore, I think it requires us to be able to at least go into the discovery phase to find out how this whole mechanism really worked. And then I'm sure my counsel will take the opportunity, if he's not convinced that consent was given to increase the loan commitment, of coming back and making a motion for summary judgment. But at this point, there's so many questions as to what went on here between the parties. I think we need to get into that a little further before we can decide whether Crown did or did not act as it was required to under the loan agreement. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you both. And the court will take this matter under advisement, and we will adjourn.
Bye.